Be seated, please.
Thank you, Judd. Good morning, church. Grace and peace be yours in abundance from our Lord. Today's extra special to me today because I have some friends here that it's a blast from the past. I want to welcome the Curtis family. Their children, or a couple of their children, was in my youth group and youth ministry years ago in Louisiana, and we had some fantastic times. And their son, Jonathan, right? Justin. Justin wasn't in my youth group. He was too old by that time when I got to meet him. And anyway, Justin's moved into this area. He's be working over in Bowling. And anyway, we just welcome you guys. I don't mean to just point you out. I hope I didn't embarrass you or anything, but my heart is just warm today because we shared a lot of fantastic times and tremendous memories. Her youngest son, I could tell you tons of stuff about. I thought he's one of the most funny kids on the face of the earth. And anyway, I'll have to catch up with him sometime later down the road. But one of my favorite memories, do y'all remember the time we had a church fellowship and barbecue out at your house? It was a French barbecue. And was it called Chandelier or Two Chandelier? Ooh, coup with the C, coup Chandelier. See, I didn't know. I mean, all I know is it's a pig over a fire that you flip around on something. Anyway, we had a great time, some of the best food I've ever had. But the thing I remember most about that experience was some of the ladies, they had a skeet or a sporting clay throwing machine in their pasture in the back, out behind their yard, behind their house. And a bunch of ladies from church got together and thought, let's just go out there and show our stuff off. And so they're out there shooting and they're hitting clay targets, having a grand old time hooting and hollering. Well, then none of the guys want to go shoot because none of us want to be showed up. Well, Mindy, they get Mindy over there and she shoots. She shoots three times and hits three clay targets in a row. And everybody's going, oh, McCord, I bet you can't do that. You know, of course, I did not want to do that because if I shot and missed, it's over. Reputation destroyed for a lifetime. So it was one of those catch 22 deals. You know, you're not going to win either way. If you shoot and miss, you're doomed. And if I don't go shoot, I'll never hear the end of it. So I was like, give me the shotgun. I hit three in a row and I quit right there and walked off. Man card saved, I tell ya. So anyway, I'm glad I survived that. But I'm just thrilled to have y'all here, and what a blessing and honor that is. Today we're going to continue our lesson, a little mini-series here called the Fatal Four Emotions That Break One's Heart. And we're talking about guilt and anger, greed and jealousy. We're looking at these things as they can be very corrosive toward the life of a Christian. And I know they're heavy topics, but at the same time, it is a joy to realize a heart set free when we can release the burden of these emotions in ways that honor God and preserve our relationships with each other. The scriptures teach us that our hearts are so valuable. It is the Proverbs writer says that above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. In other words, everything that proceeds from our life comes from our heart. And so it's incredibly valuable. And you can see what's in your heart through the fruitfulness and what is produced, and actually our deeds, what is done, the things we say, the things we do, they proceed from the heart. And sometimes it causes us, or should cause us, pause and caution to realize, wow, have you ever said to yourself, where did that come from, right? And so there's room for growth and maturity in our life with the promise of gladness. Remember what the scriptures teach us, that this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God's agenda is for us to have a heart that is at peace with Him and with one another. May the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. It is God's will for joy and happiness to flood and fill our hearts, and out of the overflow, it spills over into the lives of others around us. So we want to be okay with God And we want to be okay with each other. And sometimes these emotions that we feel, that we struggle with in our life, be it guilt or anger or greed or jealousy, can really take away that happy heart that God desires for us to have. Do y'all remember the illustration that I began the series with about the pear tree? You know, some people will plant a pear tree as an ornamental part of their yard and landscape. Now, pear trees are fantastic if you love pears, of which I do. Pear preserves may be my favorite preserves, in case any of you need to know that. Anyway, pear trees are great in an orchard where you're growing pears, but as an ornamental tree in your yard, you will soon discover that that is not a blessing, that is a curse, because all those pears drop, and then if you can't keep up with the number of pears that are dropping, then you've got rotting pears in your yard, and then that produces an odor and it attracts bugs, and you step on the stuff and you track it into your house. And remember, we talked about there's a couple of ways of dealing with this. One way is the bucket approach, in which we just pick up the fruit and we stick it in the bucket and we get it off the yard. But then sooner or later, what's going to happen again? The yard is covered with the same kind of fruit. But there's another approach that we can take when we have fruit that is being produced that we don't want. We can cut it out. Amen? We can eliminate it. We can get rid of it once and for all. Get the old Husqvarna chainsaw out, cut that thing down, get a stump grinder, dig the roots up. You're done. It's over. God wants that for us in our lives. As we mature and in our walk with Him, we want to get to a point in our life where less and less anger, greed, and jealousy is being produced in our lives, and guilt, and more of the good things that God is, so that our hearts can truly be at rest as we continue our journey with Him. So that's what we're talking about today. So today, last week we talked about guilt, and there's a debt to payment issue that comes from guilt. Guilt says that I owe. If we do something wrong toward another, it produces guilt. Guilt says, I owe you. Anger is different. There is a debt-to-debtor relationship. Anger says, you owe, help me, church, you owe me. You owe me. There's a debt-to-debtor relationship that occurs when things are done wrong and that produces anger in people's lives. You owe me. One thing that we learn from the Bible at the very earliest of the story is that anger is dangerous. Remember the story of Cain and Abel? Cain and Abel. Abel raised flocks, and then Cain raised things from the soil. They both brought their produce to God as an offering of worship and sacrifice to Him. God looked at Abel's offering because Abel brought the fat portions, obviously the first fruits, the best of what he had to offer to God. God looked with favor upon Abel's worship, but then on Cain, he looked with disfavor. And what does Cain do? We learn in Genesis chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, that Cain becomes, the Bible uses the word, Cain became angry. Right? And then he lured his brother out into the field. Rather than changing his heart, rather than changing his actions, changing his worship, it's not that he couldn't be acceptable to God. He just thought, hey, I don't need any competition before God. It'd just be me and God alone. He won't have to compare me to anybody else. Have y'all, any of y'all, you got brothers and sisters feel like your mom and dad, like look with favor on one and none on the other, and you're not that one, and then you get all mad and upset. See, if you eliminate the competition, you don't have to worry about it. Well, that's what Cain's approach was. And his anger led him to murder. And Jesus would teach us in Matthew chapter 5, it is, I believe, in the Sermon on the Mount, that you know, you've heard it said, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I say to you, anyone who is angry with his brother or sister in his heart will be subject to judgment. And so Jesus teaches us to be very aware of this emotion that occurs in all of our lives, known as anger. And so I want to spend a few minutes this morning talking about anger. and what it does. Turn with me in your Bibles, and this is going to be our key scripture today, one to ponder today in worship, and I hope it's one that you'll spend some time thinking through this week as you work on maybe this aspect of your spiritual walk with God. Ephesians chapter 4, let's look at verse 31 and 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. And Paul says this. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God has forgiven you. And so, there's this passage here where Paul says, this is something that you want to get rid of. This is something that is not good. It's not good for your spiritual life at all, especially when you put in the other things that he mentions along with it, the bitterness and the rage, which and the anger, which then leads us to actions, right? The slander, the brawling that comes from that. And then in case I missed anything else in that same group of emotions and actions, he says he throws in malice as well. Malice is just general ill will towards other people. That's what malice is. So Paul covers all the bases and he says, this stuff isn't good. This stuff is corrosive to us. And he says, you don't need to be flying off the handle. Y'all know what it means to fly off the handle? That's something that we use to describe when somebody gets angry. They flew off the handle. You should have seen it. Any of y'all know where that idiom comes from, flying off the handle? Did any of you ever have your dad or your mom have a tool shed maybe out back, and inside the tool shed they might have a sledgehammer or they might have an axe or something like that that was on a wooden handle and it was hung up there in the shed? Well, very often if something like an axe with a wooden handle stays in the shed for a long time, the wood dries, and when the wood dries, it shrinks, it contracts. And if you all of a sudden you take a swing with this axe and the axe head is not gripped really well because the wood has shrunk, the axe head will fly off the, there you go. And you can be in danger and anybody around you can be in a lot of danger. And so that's a great idiom to describe what anger is, flying off the handle. Actually, if y'all need to know this, a quick fix for something like this, just take it. If it's been hanging up for a while, in case any of you Schultz crew need to know this, take it and put it in a bucket of water and the wood will swell and it won't fly off the handle anymore. So you don't have to worry about that. Got that, Shannon? All right, very good. So no flying off of the handle. All right, so we don't fly off the handle, and Paul says, hey, get rid of it. Get rid of it. The other day, it was a few weeks ago, there were some mice that attempted a hostile takeover of the McCord pantry at our house. And Lieutenant Colonel Mindy McCord put together a plan for a counteroffensive, which included baiting traps with peanut butter, with mice poison, with steel wool and a huge cleaning process. So that was her plan that she put together, this tactical plan to get rid of all of the mice that were in. So everything had to come out of our pantry. And if you know any nooks and crannies in our house, they are full of stuff. Everything comes out, traps are set, all of this stuff is laid out. Any little hole that we found was stuffed with steel wool, all of this. And I mean, the offensive is on. And so for the next few days, we are taking mice that are stuck in traps out and throwing them in the garbage. I mean, we're getting rid of them left and right. Any food that was in our pantry was put, Mindy went to Walmart and bought all these plastic containers. Sam Walton posthumously, is that a word? Whatever he is, he's still financially benefiting from my family. I'm telling you. So Mindy's buying all these crates and cartons to put food in so we can protect ourselves and our food from all of these mice. And eventually, we got rid of all of them. Maybe all of them, at least enough for right now. The only thing that I didn't like about Mindy's offensive was the poison, because when they eat the poison, they go and die, but you don't know where they go die until you start smelling them, and then the hunt is on. So I didn't like that part, but everything else was great. And I love the effort to get rid of something that was such a nuisance for our lives. You know, anger is a nuisance for our lives and the lives of people in this world when it's expressed in destructive ways as opposed to constructive ways. And Paul says, I believe what he's talking about here is destructive anger, because in a moment I'm going to talk about the fact that anger is a normal human emotion, and it's rooted in being made in the image of God, and that God himself demonstrates and displays anger, and that anger can actually be a holy and good emotion. And so I want to make a case for just a moment that anger in and of itself is not evil or sinful. The scripture says, in your anger, do not sin. See, the anger can lead us to sin. Actually, what we need when we experience anger is to slow down, because we are dealing with dynamite, which can blow up some things in constructive ways, but if not handled carefully and properly, can be destructive as well. And so I want to. So what Paul is talking about is actually things that are destructive to our human relationships that we have with each other. Let me share with you. So let me pause this for just a moment, and let's talk about the fact that God demonstrates and has the emotion of anger. The Bible will tell us in Hebrews 13. That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We also know from Hebrews chapter 1 that Jesus is the exact representation of God's being. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. That everything that you see about Jesus reflects perfectly who God is. Jesus teaches us that if we have anger in our heart toward others, that's wrong. But did Jesus ever express anger? Church family, does Jesus ever express anger? Does he ever express anger? Wasn't there a time in which he saw what was going on in the temple of the Lord, which was to be a house of prayer, and they'd turned it into a money-making machine where they could get filthy rich on their own, exploiting God's own people? And so he sets down, he premeditatively acts. He puts together a corded whip. And then he goes in and he drives out the money changers, flipping over tables and thrusting everything out. Anger is godly when it is used to preserve the will and purposes of God. Now you may be acting, now here's what's tricky. What's tricky is that you may have holy anger, but approach your holy anger with unholy action, in ways that are destructive toward other people. So it's a tricky enterprise, which requires tremendous caution. The Bible, it tells us, I'm going to share with you a passage about God's anger. Look with me in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 11. In verse 1, it says, now the people complained about their hardships and the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. And that's when God... Not only was his anger aroused, he then acted on his anger and he sent fire around the camp of Israel. And the people cried out and they stopped their complaining, but it didn't take them too long. Verse 4 says, the rabble with him began to crave other food. The manna from heaven was no longer good enough. And again, Israel started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt, all that government subsidized food. Here it is. We remember the fish we had in Egypt at no cost. All the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. Oh, it was so good. But now we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. Now, mind you, they are free. They are being led by God at nighttime by a pillar of fire at night. They have direction. They have presence of the Lord with them. They have food to sustain them. None of their clothes are wearing out. Their shoes aren't wearing out. But they're crying out. And look at verse 10. Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance to their tents. The Lord became, what does your Bible say? Mine says, exceedingly angry. You see that? God became exceedingly angry. And he acted out and he carried out judgment as a result of this. So I want us to understand, on one hand, Jesus and Paul teaching us that anger is deadly and can be lethal and destructive. And yet at the same time, we see Paul, did Paul ever get angry? You ought to read Galatians chapter 1. Matter of fact, let's turn there for just a second. Does the Apostle Paul ever get angry? Look here. Galatians chapter 1. Let me get there real quick. Galatians 1. Look at verse 8 and 9. Paul says, "But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say it again. If anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse." Have you ever heard somebody say, "God damn it"? Have y'all ever? I know you've heard that before, right? Right, you've heard that. And almost, I'd say 99.999999% of the time, that is egocentric and selfish and self-centered, where somebody's not getting their way. And something's gone wrong and they'll say something terribly in vain like that. But do you notice here what Paul says? Let them be under God's curse. Essentially, what is Paul saying? He is hot. Not because he's personally offended, but because the gospel and the goodness and the will of God is under threat. You see what I'm saying? And so anger is aroused. So I want us to see and understand this is a tricky issue. On one hand, there is anger that's destructive, that's sinful. But on the other hand, there is anger that is constructive and good. Let me illustrate it this way. A few years ago, Minnie and I were driving through Atlanta, Georgia. And we were on a major freeway there on the highway. And there was a car that was coming up behind me really fast. And I could see it in the rearview mirror. And he's swerving quite a bit and driving really dangerously. Matter of fact, I had to move over a little bit to the right out of the way to keep from getting hit, I thought. And he comes flying around behind me. And when he comes flying around behind me, he's had his windows down. He lifted up a brown bag. I think it was hard liquor. I couldn't see what was in the bottle. But I could tell by his behavior, this guy was what they today call lit. Are you following me? He is drunk and he is driving and he is going fast and he's all over six lanes of this freeway. And Mindy said, "John, call the cops. Get that guy off the road." I'm like, I was in the phase of, he didn't hit me. Mind my own business. I don't want to be bothered. And Mindy was adamant, "You call the police." So I'm dialing up 911. There's this drunk guy driving down this interstate. I'm right behind him. His license plate is da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I stayed right behind him until a policeman comes up and we saw the lights come on and we just kept on trucking. I'm like, where did that come from? Well, I tell you what, Mindy expressed it with great anger. And there's a reason why. A number of years ago when Mindy was in school, they had gotten out for Christmas. They were loading up their vehicle, getting ready to come drive from Andrews out in West Texas to Abilene, where her grandparents lived. Grandparents were excited about the family coming in and enjoying Christmas time together. And Minnie's grandpa, Clarence, went over to Fiesta, Texas. If you know Abilene, Texas, there's a Fiesta, Texas over there by Hardin-Simmons University. And he went over there, and because they were having a big sale, they were going to get a bunch of food, and it was all on sale, and excited about the family coming in. And there at Treadway, he was driving a Pinto. I don't know if y'all remember what a Pinto is. It's basically a aluminum can with wheels. And there was a drunk driver that come flying down Treadway. Mindy said that he was going about 80 miles an hour, and he hit Mindy's granddad on the driver's side door at Treadway Boulevard. They took him to the hospital. Mindy's family got a call about 6 o'clock that evening from her grandma saying Clarence had been hit and he was in the hospital there in Hendricks. And so it was probably the coldest winter ever in the history of Abilene, Texas. And it can get cold there from time to time, but it was snowing. They drove all the way from Andrews to Abilene going about 30 miles an hour. They get there to the hospital. Clarence dies at about 3 o'clock in the morning. They bury him on the coldest day ever recorded in Abilene. And that's stuff that you don't forget. That's a pain that is seared deeply in your conscience. And you know that people can be harmed and they can be hurt when people act so irresponsibly. I would suggest that when Mindy got angry that day with me because I was not acting quick enough to make that phone call, that that's what we call righteous indignation. Amen, church family? See, there's injustice that occurs. There's something that's wrong. Somebody's going to get hurt. And so it arouses anger. And anger is that emotional fuel that makes us take action. Do you realize that you and I would not be saved were it not for the anger of God? Think about that. When Jesus was on the cross, remember he said this. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us that he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly, that he didn't respond in retaliation, that he accepted this position of being obedient to his heavenly Father as a result of this. And remember what he said on the cross, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they do. But who is acting with anger in this scenario? The anger that God has toward the wrath, toward our sin, is what put Jesus on the cross. That God was angry toward sin. He was angry toward evil. And he was judging it. But he carried his angry judgment out through the work of his Son, Jesus Christ. That anger and wrath was aimed at us. But Jesus was our substitute. And so atonement occurred so that you and I could be reconciled to God, that God's anger, his righteous indignation, could be assuaged and reconciliation could occur. Matter of fact, in the Psalms in the Old Testament, I'm going to share this one psalm with you. Turn with me to Psalm 18. Psalm 18, and we'll wrap the lesson up here. Psalm 18. And my point is, were it not for the anger of God, you and I would not be saved. I love this psalm. It says, I love you. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies, the cords of death. They had entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. I mean, have you ever been in that position where it seems like the world around you is collapsing and you're crying out to God and you're wondering, God, are you listening here? He says, in my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. Look out. The earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the mountain shook. They trembled because he was angry. Did y'all see that? Look out. I mean, you're talking about when you fire up the rage of God because injustice is occurring. Look out. Things are going to get shook up. And then it says, smoke rose from his nostrils, consuming fire came from his mouth, burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and he came down, dark clouds. And then on and on it talks about this awesome, responsive, angry, powerful God. And what does he do? Look at verse 16. He reached down from on high and he took hold of me. He drew me out of the deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. And then he says in verse 19, he brought me into this spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Do you realize that when God delights in you, that it is this anger that actually motivates his desire to save? And so I want us to think about the fact and the reality that there's destructive anger, but there's also constructive anger. And so I'm going to pause right there. The stuff I have is just too important. It's too important. We're going to have to do a part two. Is that okay? Is that all right? We're going to do part two of this. It's just too important because we're going to talk about how to slow down when we're angry, because we're all going to have anger. Amen? All right? And so we've got to discern, is this anger righteous or unrighteous? And then if we say, okay, if it's righteous, then how do I act in a righteous response. See, you can have righteous anger and still react in an unrighteous way. Are y'all following that? It's tricky. All right. And so what does James say? Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become. So we're going to talk about that next week. And then we're going to talk about how to deal with issues that are beyond our control that cause anger, where we can't fix it, where we can't solve it. And we're going to learn how to entrust ourselves to the one who judges justly, so that, church family, bitterness, anger, and rage do not make their dwelling in our lives, because they're so corrosive. But they do show up, and we've got to do something with it. So God's going to teach us. He's going to help us become those kind of people in which a glad heart and a happy heart can reign free in our lives. Amen? All right, there's the message. Pay attention to your anger this week. Ask yourself, is this righteous or unrighteous? Is this constructive or is this destructive? Make yourself aware. You'll have lots of opportunities to practice that this week, won't you? Amen, church fan? Won't you? Amen? You'll have lots of opportunities. Matter of fact, after we leave church, you'll probably get your first one. So anyway, hey, God be with you and bless you. Let's commit this to prayer. Almighty God, this morning we come before you as brothers and sisters in Christ, seeking deeply to love one another. And Father, to work through the turbulence that will show up in our lives, that will cause anger. Would you help us in these efforts to be righteous? In Jesus we pray. Amen. If we can serve any of you this morning, we certainly invite you forward. Let's all stand and sing. Love.